No problem. All right, so as these pictures are playing behind me, they're in an area where there's great poverty, great need. The people there in India, many of them lost their jobs due to the coronavirus pandemic. And so we took up that missions offering and sent it to them. And they had the opportunity, as you see here behind me, to take and purchase food to take to families that they've been sharing the gospel with and seeking to serve by giving them this food. The Lawrences live in the country of India, which has 2,717 people groups. A people group is a large society of people that identify themselves with their own culture and oftentimes their own language. Out of the 2,717 people groups, 2,445 are considered unreached. India has more unreached people groups than any other country in the world. That means out of a population of 1,373,941,000 people, there are 1,313,878,000 people who are unreached. That means that more than likely these people will be born, live their lives, and die, and never hear the name of Jesus Christ. Never hear the good news of how He came to die on the cross for our sins. I'm so thankful that God has given us the opportunity to team up with the Lawrences who are serving in a country where there are these unreached people groups, where they're seeking to meet the physical and spiritual needs of the people there. And in a recent email we received from John, he states, "We are able to provide basic food ingredients to more than 100 families who are going through difficult times due to losing jobs and poverty. We believe that real transformation can only come through the gospel. So we are presenting the gospel with them and use this as a bridge-building opportunity." I had the privilege of living just across the hall from John Lawrence as he was a senior and I was a freshman at Appalachian Bible College. And he's always had a heart for the lost and for going back to India where he grew up and reaching his people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So please continue to pray for John, Maria, and their daughter, Janita, as they continue to obey the Lord by making disciples of Jesus Christ there in India. Also, in his email, he asked that we pray specifically for these things. Pray for them as they continue to lead Bible studies online, and pray for them as they continue to provide food for families in need, and pray for an upcoming Zoom teen meeting.
Father, we thank You and praise You for Your goodness and grace, and indeed, may it be our prayer that we will surrender all to You this day, that we will walk from this church service surrendered to do Your will, surrender to Your salvation. Father, surrender to love others, to love our neighbor as You has called us to do. We're thankful for this time. We're thankful, Father, for how You bless us each and every day with Your presence, with Your power, and with Your peace. We pray for John and Maria as they are working so hard in India to share the gospel of Your Son. Father, we pray for the Bible studies that they will be effective and they will lead many, many people to Jesus Christ. And coming to Christ, those folks will be discipled. And being discipled, Father, they will take the message of Christ to their homes and their families and their neighbors. We pray for the food distribution, that there will always be food for John and Maria to give out. That they not only feed the body, Father, but they're also feeding the soul. May those supplies never end. We pray for the teen camp that's coming up. May that be a special time for this family. May we see many young people come to know Jesus. And Father, that they will give a lifetime of surrendering all to You and lead many of their own countrymen to Christ. We pray for the GoFund, that it will grow, that we will have a way to financially secure our missionaries that we hope to send from this church, send throughout the world to unreached people groups and to other places. And Father, that we will be financially ready to do that in obedience to Your will and Your call. In Your word, You tell us that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. May it be our prayer today that we will join Him on that mission. May it always be the burden of our church to go, to seek, and to see the lost saved. Father, thank You for the teens and the children and the work that they have done this summer. May that be used in their hearts to further Your will in their lives, to know what You want them to do. And Father, we pray for missionaries and pastors and workers to come out of this group And we ask that you will glorify your name through that. Father, thank you. And we pray that all this will be done for the glory of your Son and the glory of your name. Amen.
Well, good morning. You're as bad as the kids every time I say good morning when we get to kids' club, and they're just, you know, no. Good morning. There we go. See, I guess you don't grow out of it. All right. Now we're all awake in here. It's a blessing to be here with you this morning. So excited to share with you what the Lord has done and has been doing through the hearts and lives of these children. And just may our everything that's said this morning, may our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ receive all the honor and glory. He's the one that truly deserves all the praise, for sure. But wanted to just let you know we had to change things a little bit due to the all that's going on with the coronavirus and such. So we ended up, Pastor James and I, as we discussed how to handle this summer and how to continue to do our activities, we decided to do it on the same week because the summer was shortened. So for the kids, we had 2 days of junior camp where we traveled back and forth to camp. So we did that on Monday and Tuesday. And then rather than the full week-long crew mission trip that we typically do, I just did a 1 day of service. So we did it on Friday of that week. So here is our group. Sitting there, big smiles on their faces. So just wanted to just give you an overview of the things that we did and show you some pictures so you can have in your mind what the kids are talking about when they come up. I'll try to be brief because I know you'd a lot rather hear from them than you would from me. But just wanted to jump in here and say we started off at the church down in the children's room. We spent some time going over our key verse. For the day, we also played some games. We made some signs for our car wash fundraiser that we'll be talking about here in a little bit. Of course, we went over some rules, and we spent some time growing as a team before we got started. We also, like I said, went over our key verse. If I can get it to stop on the right slide. There we go, the first slide. So we talked about grace from Ephesians chapter 2. Grace is given, not earned. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 8, says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So we spent some time discussing that free gift of grace that the Lord gives us and how because of that is what pushes us to do good works, not for the grace, but because of that cause and effect of the amazing gift that the Lord has given us in His grace and His love for us. So after that, we piled in the van and we headed over to Bluefield to the ABLE Crisis Pregnancy Center. We spent some time pulling weeds there and spreading mulch there at their facility, trying to make things look a little nicer, be more presentable for the clients that come. Appreciate Miss April Cunningham for her willingness to spend the day with us as well, preparing meals and working right alongside of us. You know, pulling weeds and spreading mulch is just hard work. And it's one of the reasons why I chose that activity. Sometimes when we serve, it's not always fun. Sometimes you just have to grit your teeth and get the job done. But the kids did a great job. Just enjoyed that time. After it was done, we headed over to Bluefield City Park and spent some time unwinding. Of course, we had to eat lunch. And just unwound a little bit and got rejuvenated, ready to go, built some sandcastles while we were there. And as you can see, they were excited to get back on the van so we could come back to Princeton. But we headed over to Heaven Sent Ministries and had the privilege of hearing from Miss Nancy Shrewsbury, who is on staff there. She shared about the needs in Sudan where the food that they are packaging will head to. Miss Nancy has gone back and forth to Sudan for quite a few years. Been there a number of times. She's got a close relationship with Ding Leek, who is Heaven Sent's native contact there in country. It was great to hear her testimony and hear her share about the needs there and what the food will do and how they can use it to share the gospel. Also, we're privileged to have Mr. Nick there. He works with the kids on Wednesday, so it was fun to have him work with the kids and teach them how to put those food packets together and enjoy that time of serving there. We also got to sample some of that international food, and all the kids said that they really enjoyed it. It was good, wasn't it? It was. All right, after that, we went right down the hill to O'Reilly Auto Parts in Princeton, where we had planned to meet with the kids' families, and we did a free car wash. So what we did was advertised that we were having a free car wash, but if folks would like to, they may give a donation to the Able Center. But if they didn't want to give a donation, it was fine. We would still wash their car anyway. So we enjoyed, again, being there with families, enjoyed playing in the soap a little bit. We got to have some pizza and enjoy that time. Also, if I can get the slides to advance, see some of our kids out front there advertising. They had some dances they made up, which they thought helped bring cars in for us to wash. So it was fun to watch them do that. And of course, you can't have water hose without enjoying a little fun, and also buckets of soap without a fight or two. So just enjoyed that time together as families. It was a great time and very fruitful, we felt like. We'll let some of the kids share some more details about that. But just wanted to say thank you, church, for your support of the Kids Club crew and the things that we're able to do. And, so I will be quiet now and allow the children to share with you some more details about some of the activities and things we were able to do during this special day. So I'm going to ask Adam Jones if he will start our time.
First service is way smaller than second service, so that this is okay.
You're good.
Hello, my name is Adam Jones, and today I will be talking about the Able Pregnancy Center. First off, the Able Pregnancy Center is a place to help women with unplanned pregnancies and help them not have an abortion. They also they give them supplies for their babies. And we went there to help pull weeds and put down mulch and all that, and we really knew they had tons of weeds, so we really knew that they needed some help. My favorite part was probably picking up the bags of mulch. We had like a little competition to see who was the strongest and get to show off our muscles. It probably took about 45 minutes to an hour. And I was glad I got the chance to work for them because of how I knew of such a great ministry they were. Thank you.
Steph?
I mean, Adam's not wrong, though. It's a really big service. Hi, my name is Seth Patton, and I went on the crew day of service. And today I'm going to be talking about packaging food at Heaven Sent Ministries. Heaven Sent Ministry is a ministry to where they package food and send it across the world. This is all very new to me, considering I've never done the Hungry Challenge or never packed food. But once I learned how to do it, it was really fun and quick and easy. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. Just give me a second.
How many boxes do we pack?
Oh, yeah. And we managed to pack 3,600 meals to send to South Sudan. And as Pastor Jason said, we were able to taste some of the food that was going to be sent there, and it was really good. Overall, I was very happy and glad I had the opportunity to go on this trip. Thank you.
Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Ella. Oh, Ella, sorry.
Hello, my name is Ella Bowden, and I would like to share a bit about what we did at Heaven Sent Ministries on our Credo service. While we were at Heaven Sent, Ms. Nancy Shrewsbury told us about her experience in Sudan, one of the countries that the food goes to. She told us about how the people are suffering and how much they need the food that we package. That changed my view of packaging. I've heard that stuff all my life at hunger challenges, but not put to a kid's perspective. I now know how much Sudan truly needs the food and our prayer. Thank you.
Hi, I am Ben Think. I will be talking about the crew car wash. Thank you for making the crew day of service possible and supporting the crew. Before the car wash, we made signs to get people to come. It was so fun. At the car wash, we held signs at the road and cleaned people's cars. We said it was a free car wash, but we took no donations and gave it to the Able Center. We raised $533. The families came close to the beginning, too. The car wash, that was fun, too. My favorite part was holding up signs. I liked when Dylan did the worm to get people to come. It was so funny. It was a great experience to wash cars and hold signs. I had fun, and we probably saved babies' lives. Bye.
Hi, I'm Caleb Cunningham, and I'll also be talking about the car wash. And it was fun to get to go out and wash all the cars, and it was cool to see how many people came to give donations to the Able Center. We raised $533.
Hi, my name is Ethan. I'm 10 years old and going into fifth grade. I went to the day of service with Kids Club Crew. I wanted to go to the day of service trip because I wanted to help others and I wanted to learn about God. Before we left, we played a team scavenger hunt, but we didn't always read out loud, so we didn't know where to go. We learned that we're better as a team than individual. My favorite part of the day was the car wash, because it was fun to spray each other, and we had a great time. The day of service trip was fun, and we all enjoyed helping others.
Jason asked me to share a little bit about why we do mission trips with this age children, 4th and 5th grade kids. And there's a variety of reasons that we do this, but honestly, it's not a lot different than why we take high schoolers on trips or why we as adults go on trips either. One of the reasons we take these kids on mission trips is to give them concentrated time and opportunities to live and share what they believe. That is, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. We try to stretch them a little bit to do things they might not be comfortable with or that they've never done before, things like spending time with elderly people in nursing homes or pulling weeds from flower gardens or sharing their salvation story with a group of children their own age. I believe a mission trip also teaches all of us to set our comforts and our desires aside and focus on other people and serving them. And the last reason I want to mention, although there's many more, is that we take these kids on mission trips because God can and does use them in ways that he cannot use me or Miss April or Jason or any of us adults in here. God tells us that all the parts of his body have different purposes, and all those parts work together to accomplish his purpose. These 10, 11, and 12-year-olds are part of his body, and God uses them to do things and reach people that are for his glory and will make him known. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Thank you for being a church that loves kids, that desires to train them and give them opportunities to love and serve our God.
Just again wanted to say a thank you to Nick and April Cunningham, also to my wife, Miss Kristen, for taking the day to spend with these kids and help disciple them. And thank you, families, for coming out, being a part of what your kids are doing, encouraging them in ministry. And thank you for allowing us the opportunity to help you disciple them and train them in the ways of our Lord and Savior. Also, thank you guys. You never cease to amaze me in their desire to serve, in their hearts to care for others and care for people. So it's a privilege to work with you guys each week, enjoy your company, and get to know you. So thank you so much. And at this time, we're going to go ahead and let these guys head down, and I believe Miss Olivia Belcher is going to come and share a song with us.
Thank you, Olivia and Savannah, for continuing to lead us in worship through that song this morning. Appreciate that very much. At this time, I'd like to ask all the middle school and high schoolers who are a part of the youth mission camp to come forward and join me up here. As they come forward, I'd just like to give you all just a brief overview of what we did during that week. Our youth mission camp was July 13th through the 18th, and we called it a mission camp because there were some aspects of the week that were camp-type activities, and there were other aspects of the week where we were doing different service projects and outreach-type things. Monday, we went whitewater rafting at Alpine Ministries up in Beckley there. We finished the day with some time playing Nine Square and a campfire. On Tuesday, we served at Tender Mercies and Heaven Sent Ministries, where we had the opportunity to hear from Lyle Mullins, hear testimony from him about how he began that ministry. And then that night, we ended up the day with watching the movie End of the Spear, which is about the five missionaries who are missionaries in the country of Ecuador. They're in the Amazon jungles. Those five men were Peter Fleming, Jim Elliott, Ed McCauley, Roger Udarian, and Nate Saint. And then on Wednesday, we served at Bluefield Union Mission. And then later that afternoon and evening, we went up to Grandview, where we went for a nice long hike, and the kids were wore out. And I've never seen pizza go so quick in my whole life. I mean, it was gone. And then Thursday, we served here at the church and ended the day with a hearing from Pastor Dan and Miss Amy about their time on the mission field there in Papua New Guinea. And then Friday, we served at Heaven Sent Ministries, where we had the opportunity to hear from Nancy Shrewsbury, who's been to South Sudan many times, as Pastor Jason mentioned a little bit ago. And we also had the opportunity to hear from Scott and Mehdi Mullins. And it was a neat time. We got to hear some really neat things from all these different missionaries and how God had worked in their lives. Then we finished up Friday with going tubing down the river, and then we came back here and finished up the evening watching the movie Tortured for Christ, which is about a pastor in the country of Romania when they were under communist rule, and how he and his wife and others lived for Christ in the middle of great persecution. And then Saturday we went rappelling at Alpine Ministries and ended the day with another game of Nine Square. And if you guys want to hear some trash talk, you've got to hang around our youth group in the game of Nine Square. There's some serious trash talk that happens, and it's a ton of fun. But then after that, we also had another campfire and got to just share about the week and all the things we learned, and it was a great time together. So at this time, Sarah Bowden is going to come and share.
Good morning, I'm Sarah Bowden. Last month, I participated in the Youth Mission Camp trip. It was a life-changing experience for me. Some of the things we did on that week were things to serve others. Other things we did were for fun. I'm going to share some of the fun things we did and the spiritual aspects to them. On the first day of our trip, we went whitewater rafting. There were two groups. One was the older kids and the other was the younger kids. We went on different rapids. I was in the younger group, and our guide was named Mr. John. Something that I thought was interesting was the first question he asked us. The question was if we knew how to tell someone about Jesus and if we knew how to help them get saved. To be honest, I never really thought that through. I just automatically thought I knew how to tell them, but I have never had someone ask me to help them get saved. After he asked that, no one really responded. Then he told us how to do it, and that there was no special way to do it, as long as the person gets to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Another thing Mr. John talked about was that he was like God and we were like his people. He said that when he told us something new to do, that we immediately did it. This was how we could keep our raft going. He said that in the same way we listen to him to keep the raft going smoothly, we should listen to God and everything will be somewhat smoother in our daily lives. Those were things that really stood out to me that day, and I hope I never forget them. The fun thing that we did on our last day was rappelling. I actually didn't go rappelling because they needed some people to stay back to do the ropes course that Alpine built, but I still had a ton of fun with the people that stayed back. The main spiritual thing our guide, who was also named Mr. John, talked about was that the ropes course was like our lives and our harnesses were like God. And in life, we will make mistakes, but we should always remember that God is with us, and when we fall, he will be there to catch us. We also had to have a partner, and we had to work together to do the elements. Our guide talked about that when we go through troubles in life, we should have a close friend or a partner to encourage us and help us get through them. One other thing that stood out to me is when Mr. John said, "Today I'm not going to make you do anything you don't want to do, but I am going to push you to do things that you don't think you can do." Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great day.
Our youth group was allowed many great opportunities the week of our mission trip. It was truly amazing getting to see the kids and the youth getting to help out in our own area. Among the things we did was volunteering at the Bluefield Union Mission. The Union Mission serves our community by offering daily meals, groceries, clothing, transportation, and even assisting those in need of shelter. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. If you go to their website, it says, "Where sermons are seen and not heard." Their goal is to act as Jesus. Instead of preaching to their visitors, they show love by helping everyone in need. When we arrived at the Bluefield Union Mission, we didn't really know what we were going to be asked to do. We had enough people to be split into two groups. The first group was taken downstairs and helped sort through donated clothing. The whole time we were there, people were bringing in more and more donations. Our job was to look through the clothes and decide whether or not the clothes were worth keeping. The clothes that were worth keeping were folded and organized on a table. The clothes were then going to be sold to the community the next Saturday. The second group remained upstairs to help make food bags. They also prepared meals that were served that day. Once all the meals and food bags were made, the doors were opened and people came in and received their food. Once both groups had finished their jobs, we regrouped to help unload truckloads of food that had been donated to the Bluefield Union Mission. Another thing we were allowed to do the week of the mission trip was work at Tender Mercies for a day. When we first showed up, they had everyone doing different things. Some people mopped the floors, some people helped clean their kitchen, and some people helped box food. As people started to finish their jobs, more jobs were given out. Some of the older youth were split into two groups and sent around the building to help pick up any trash. Once this was completed, I, alongside of Josiah Patton and Pastor James, cut their grass and weed-eated around their building. Once this was done, we had a big group lunch outside in the grass. We picked up our trash and prepared to leave and carry on with the rest of our day. We also got the opportunity to package food with Heaven Sent Ministries for 2 days. Once the bags were packed and sealed, we put them in boxes. The first day we were there, we heard the story of Lyle Mullins, the founder of Heaven Sent Ministries. The second day, his son, Scott Mullins, the executive director of Heaven Sent Ministries, told us his story. Heaven Sent Ministries is another great organization in our area. They pack small food bags that are boxed and shipped to the people of South Sudan. In total, our youth group packaged 98 boxes, which is 21,168 meals. All of these organizations I spoke about are great ways that our church can help out in our community. They are always looking for people to come volunteer their time to help out. It was a very fun experience for our youth group and was truly amazing getting to see the way God worked through us. Thank you.
Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." On our mission trip, our group met many people with inspiring stories to tell about their walk with Christ. One such man was Lyle Mullins. We met him on Tuesday night after we had packaged food. He told us the story of how the Lord led him to ministry and to found Heaven Sent Ministries. Even though it was only the beginning of our week, one thing he said really stood out to me. If you devote your life to missions, you will never regret it. On Friday, we met Nancy Shrewsbury. She told us the school she went to for being a doctor was started by missionaries. She said one missionary there had a huge impact on her, inspired her to become a missionary in Sudan, where she has been on several missions. Dan and Amy Thing told the group about their mission trip in Papua New Guinea, and Lyle Mullen's sons, Scott and Mehdi, shared with us about their role in ministry. Mehdi is a doctor, and Scott is the director at Heaven Sent. As the school year approaches, I will look back at these people who are doing the Lord's will as inspiration to do the same. Thank you.
They said I talked too fast in the first service, so I'm going to try and slow it down. But if I start talking really fast, just ignore me. Good morning. My name is Amelia Garrett, and I will be discussing the two movies that we watched on the mission trip. The first one I'd like to talk about is called The End of the Spear. I keep saying I'm going to call it The Last of the Mohicans, so if I do, just ignore me and make fun of me after the service. This movie tells of five missionaries, Nate Saint, Jim Elliott, Ed McCauley, Peter Fleming, and Roger Udarian. These five men lived in Ecuador with their families. The story is told from Steve Saint's point of view, who is Nate Saint's son. Nate and Steve are best friends, and they spend most of their time together building small model airplanes and just hanging out as father and son. While in Ecuador, Nate became obsessed with finding the Wodani tribe of Palm Beach. This tribe mainly had an animist view, which if you don't know, means they believed objects, places, and creatures all had a spiritual essence. Nate wanted to find this tribe and witness God's word to them. After months of searching in his plane, he finally spotted them on the shore. To gain their trust, Nate started by dropping baskets down from his plane with various items such as toys, tools, and food inside. After a few days of this, Nate decided to fly down onto the sandbar and make contact with them. Two women first met them, and they tried their best to communicate, but as you'd probably expect, it didn't go too smoothly considering the language barrier. Nate, however, did not lose hope and continued to gain their trust. The women came back to the tribe and told them of the five men. The tribe's leader, Minkayani, did not trust the men. He believed they murdered Dayumi, a Wodani girl who ran away from the tribe years before for her own safety, who was now an adult. He decided to attack the men, who had no weapons on them. They charged at all five men with spears, murdering each one and destroying their plane. Before Nate had left, his son taught him only five words of the Wodani language, and these were his last words to Minkayani: "I am your sincere friend." And with that, he and the other five missionaries passed. The movie ends with Steve Saint returning to Ecuador years later as an adult to attend a family member's funeral. Then is when he meets Minkayani. He tells Steve that he was the one who murdered his father, Nate. He feels so guilty that he holds a spear to his chest and tells Steve to take his life. Steve did not do this, however, for he knew God told us to never murder another man. Steve comes to forgive Minkayani, and over the years they become very close. He was later saved and baptized in the same river he killed the five missionaries. Tortured for Christ is the second movie that we watched. This movie tells the story of Richard and Sabina Wormbrand. This couple lived in Romania in the 1940s, which then was controlled by the Ceausescu regime. This was a communist form of government where no Christianity was permitted. If you were caught, you'd immediately thrown into jail, tortured, or sent to concentration camps. Spies were everywhere, so even saying the name of the Lord was a death sentence. The Wormbrands, being the strong Christians they were, never let this get in the way. They held underground church services in their home, which usually consisted of them and two other families. These people risked their lives to go to church. Richard was called to speak at a conference, and there he said communism and Christianity are not compatible. For this, they were both arrested, leaving their son an orphan. Richard was taken to prison and sentenced for 25 years. He lived in an unsanitary environment, slept on the ground, was often malnourished, and was beaten and tortured. This included being whipped by the feet, burned, and locked in an icebox for several days. Sabina was taken to a camp and was forced to do manual labor, such as working on railroads. She was also beaten, made fun of, and exposed to many diseases. But no trial would ever stand in the way of their want to spread the gospel. Richard and Sabina would witness to their cellmates, the guards, and the officers. Richard held a church service in his cell with a few other men. They would sing and use their shackles and chains as instruments to bring praises to God, though they were beaten severely for this. One thing that stood out to me during the movie was something Richard said. We wouldn't really mind the guards. We got to sing praises and share testimonies, and they got to beat us. Everybody was happy. They were later released in 1956 after 8.5 years of prison. The couple continued to spread God's word after their imprisonment and went on to create the Voice of the Martyrs in 1967. It is now a $50 million industry, reaching to 68 countries in the world. Are you willing to witness to the unreached? Are you willing to give your life to the cause of Christ? There are over 1 billion people on earth that have never heard the name of Jesus in their lives. They will be born, live their lives, and die without ever hearing the gospel. So what will you do about it? Matthew 28:16-20, the Great Commission says this. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Good morning. My name is Hannah Patton, and I had the privilege to go on the youth missions trip this past summer. I am very blessed to be going to a church that is so mission-minded. This was my second mission trip with Johnson Chapel, and it was definitely the highlight of my summer. Thank you, pastors and church, for sending us on these mission trips. They not only impact the community, but also the youth group. And thank you, Pastor James and Sarah, and all the other youth leaders that put up with us on this trip. It is truly appreciated. I'm thankful to be taught and encouraged by you guys every week. We are always being taught by our youth leaders that our youth group needs to be unified. Unity is definitely the word I would use to describe this missions trip. We had to be unified in both the fun activities and in the service to the community. For example, when we went whitewater rafting, if you and the other members in your boat were not unified in your paddling, you would definitely have flipped your boat. And the same for Heaven Sent Ministries. If we aren't on the same page and we accidentally miss the bag, we'll spill rice everywhere and just make a huge mess. When we are unified and working together as one, we accomplish more than if many people are trying to do things their own way. My favorite kind of unity shown through the week was through friendships being built. In order for the youth group to be unified in Christ, we need to establish friendships with everybody. I really enjoyed getting to know some of the younger kids in the youth group. I enjoyed seeing people that have probably never said two words to each other get to know one another. I hope these friendships continue to develop as we grow in Christ together. Unity is not only important in our youth group, but also important for the entire church. Our world today is obviously not very unified, so it's important that we remember that the Bible says in Psalms 133:1, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity.
Good morning. My name is Jamie. It is always such a fun opportunity to work with the students, and this trip was no exception. We started out the week, like they said, with a whitewater rafting trip. I had to go on what they deemed the wimpy rapids because of my husband's weak stomach. If you remember last year's mission trip report, you'll know what I mean. But the good thing about that was the time that we got to spend with the middle school girls. Having the chance to hear them talk, we had them on our raft. Got to hear more about their interests, hear what middle school girls enjoy. I have all boys, so girls is foreign to me. So it was a really great day to be together. The story that they will tell you, however, is that as our raft was filling with water, my husband chose to save the cooler of food that was in the raft instead of me as I went overboard. But I will tell you that another time. I don't want to pick on him too much. However, Daniel, to your response in the first service, the cooler was strapped in, so he really didn't have to save the cooler. So anyway, okay. I think that the theme that kept coming up to me through the week as I reflected back was keep going, the Lord will provide. Each ministry that we served at would tell us stories of how they started or how they continue to serve in our community. And in that story was always intertwined how they stepped out in faith. They continue to do what they feel the Lord has asked them to do, and they've never gotten to a point where they can't operate, even when they don't always know where the funds are going to come from or their provisions. We heard from Lyle Mullins at Heaven Sent on how time after time, even as he was beginning to feel the Lord's calling to start the ministry, and then as they were starting, and even now, they don't always know, see how something was going to happen, and they didn't have the money or resources, but the Lord was working in the heart of someone else to help work out that plan, and they just had to keep going and keep trusting that. At the end of our time at Bluefield Union Mission, we were unloading a huge trailer of food that had just been donated by the railroad across the street. And the lady that we had been working with just kind of stood there in amazement, and as we covered multiple tables full of food, she said that they had just been talking in one of their meetings about how they were getting low on food and they were not sure what they were going to serve next, and then the Lord just dropped this load of food out for them. So these little stories from each place of how someone or something was always right behind, that they just had to keep going in order to get that blessing. It really encouraged me to see these people making daily choices to keep going without always knowing what's coming next. It challenged me to think, how often do we not see a solution to a problem right away? So we start to panic, or we try to make our own way out without seeking the Lord first and His help and what He would have us to do. How often do we maybe miss a blessing of seeing that provision through faith when we step out rather than forming our own plan for a quick solution? I know that this whole pandemic time has caused a lot of panic and a lot of what do we do now moments, but I truly believe that we had one of our best trips together this summer as a result of it. It might not have been our original plan, but the Lord knew what we needed as a youth group. We didn't need to give up or just not do anything this summer. We needed to keep going and see what He was going to provide. James did an amazing job of pulling from our local resources to show the students how we can serve and have fun right here in our own neck of the woods. So thank you guys for all your prayer and support. Lindsay and I love working with the youth group, and they are a really wonderful group of kids. Thank you.
All right, for the record, with this whole cooler thing, they hadn't eaten lunch yet, so.
Yes, we have.
Oh, never mind. You're on your own, Lindsay, sorry. Nope. As you can tell, we had a great week together, and I just want to say thank you so much to all the parents for trusting us with your children for the week in the middle of everything that was going on. I thank you for the opportunity that you give us as a church and as youth leaders to come alongside you as you disciple your children to be followers of Jesus Christ, that you allow us to come alongside you and to help you and support you in that. We take that task very seriously, and we are truly thankful for that. I want to thank everyone who helped with the meal preparation. There are all kinds of different parents and different people that chipped in with bringing food and coming in and preparing food. Like the night we ate that pizza at Grandview Park, I mean, it was gone like that. And as I said in the first service, anytime you feed a large group of teenagers, I mean, they're ravenous. I mean, it's just, and it's gone. And it was a big task to feed them during the week. And I appreciate all those that helped and kept us going, kept us fed, and kept everybody happy, because we didn't want anybody getting hangry during the week. I also want to thank each of the leaders that helped. I think they're all up here this morning, Sarah and Lindsay and Jamie and Frankie and April and Misty. And then there were a few others that even came in and out throughout the week. But I'm so thankful for them. It's a great team to serve with. They're just awesome. I couldn't say enough good things about all of them. I'm so thankful for each one of them. And thank you, Johnston Chapel. Thank you so much for your prayers, for your encouragement. The support you give to our children and to our youth, our teens, means a lot to me, and it means a lot to them and to their families to see the support and the love that they have from the church. It's a joy to see that, you know, this is a church where we desire, and families desire, to see their children to grow up to be godly men and women who serve the Lord. And so please continue to pray for our youth and pray for our children, because the Lord is working in their hearts, and He's impressing some of them with the desire to serve in missions. And no doubt that's scary, and there's a lot of questions there, but please be praying for them. And even those that may not serve in full-time missions or full-time ministry, that they grow up and be godly men and women who have a heart for evangelism and discipleship and supporting by praying and giving and supporting missions here in the local church. The reason we do these mission trips with our youth and our children goes back to our mission statement, right? We want to develop disciples of Jesus Christ who love Him, who grow in Him, and serve Him. And our purpose statement for our mission strategy kind of goes hand in hand with that. The mission strategy at Johnson Chapel is to train, equip, and support believers in Jesus Christ who have been called by God to be sent into the world to fulfill the Great Commission. Our desire is that every church member, every person here today as a part of this church, that we would have a passion and a desire to support and to encourage missions. That we would all be going out and fulfilling the Great Commission. But we trust that God is preparing the hearts of some of those who will leave the culture and the place where they're familiar with and go across seas and across cultures and learn new languages to go and share the gospel with those who have never heard. So we all have a part to play, whether that's praying, giving, supporting and encouraging missionaries, or perhaps going ourselves. So pray that each one of us have that passion, that desire in our heart.
Thank you so much for being here this morning. I can't tell you how much that means to our young people, our kids, our youth, your encouragement and support of them in missions. Kids, youth, we love you. We're proud of you. You all did an excellent job representing Christ, representing Johnston Chapel during your mission week. So thank you for that. Thank you to Pastor Jason and Pastor James. We are blessed with an amazing pastoral staff here. Thank you for investing in these young people. Thank you for modeling love for Christ, love for neighbor. Really do appreciate all that you guys did. There are over 3 billion people who remain unreached as we gather this morning in worship. There are 2,600 languages that are currently being translated. The Bible's being translated into those languages. Another 2,000 where translation work has not even begun. So the mission is not complete. The task is not finished. So let's be in prayer for these young people that God would raise up a generation of laborers for the harvest field. That's my prayer for my own children. That's my prayer for your children, your grandchildren, that God would move. And as you know, we have our GoFund. And our GoFund is for the sending out of missionaries from Johnston Chapel. And we want to send these young people out to the unreached peoples of the world. So one practical way you can get involved, obviously, is praying for our young people, but also by giving generously to that GoFund. And today is a great day to do that. You have information in your bulletin about that this morning, how you can give. A couple other quick announcements this morning before we wrap things up. Our target ministries are starting this Wednesday. Divorce care, grief share, also Awana. So I encourage you, if you know someone who could benefit from those ministries, someone who needs to hear about Jesus, needs healing in their life, I pray that, or I encourage you to reach out to that person and share that information with them. The Back to School Bash, September 8th, Friday night, is coming up for the youth group and also the DMAs, our Don't Mention Age group. They have an outing to the Wolford House coming up on September, that same date, Friday, September 11th. So just a few announcements this morning. Let me close with a reading of God's Word, Revelation chapter 5. And we all look forward to this day around the throne of God. They sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Let's go out from here today and let's live in light of that scene around the throne of God. God bless you, church.